A quick recap of some of the high points from last week's Kansas Agricultural Technologies Conference, co-hosted by K-State Research and Extension. Joining us once again from K-State Research and Extension, Precision Agricultural Economist Terry Griffin and Precision Agricultural Engineer A.J. Sharda. One of the things, we'll start with you, Terry, that really impressed you about the program and stood out as far as the presentations was the reference to how far we've come in production agriculture with the technologies.
Yeah, that was one of the most interesting things to me. For those of us who've been in precision ag for the last 20 years or so, we've seen some things change, and we've seen some things not change. Looking at the agenda for the Ag Technologies Conference from 20 years ago, does variable rate pay? We still have the same question, and there's still a lot of unanswered questions about technology. Some things have changed, though. You know, 20 years ago, we did not have technologies such as automated guidance, automated section control. And oddly enough, those have been widely adopted, and you could even argue that automated guidance has become ubiquitous. Our statistics show that probably three-fourths of Kansas farms are using that technology. The older technologies that were around 20 years ago, yield monitors, variable rate application, grid soil sampling, and so forth, to this day are adopted at a lot lower rates than the automated technologies such as guidance and section control. I guess the overarching difference today, even 5 or 10 years ago, was looking at the trade show. There were several companies who were dedicated to farm data analysis, data services, aggregating data from across multiple farms. And that clearly wasn't here 20 years ago. That was one of the bigger differences.
AJ, follow up on that, if you would. Data management seems to have become every bit as important, if not more so, than data gathering.
Absolutely. You know, if you want to make decisions on input management, if you want to understand trends, if you want to stay profitable and stay even sustainable in this time and age when commodity prices are rock bottom, you need to have an aggregated data and good data. And Terry was mentioning something about stuff which was mentioned, you know, which was taken up 20 years ago. So there are people in the room who said that we were the first ones to use yield monitors. Mm-hmm. And during the same conference, we heard somebody ask a question, you know, so how many people calibrate yield monitors these days? Or how many people would stop to fix a bad yield monitor? And there was an apprehension and some sort of a hiccup about, you know, how many people do that. So I guess this is a really important aspect, you know, moving forward, is that good data collection is very important, but data aggregation is going to be the key when it comes to making decisions for input management.
So one of the biggest requests I've had this winter is to discuss how do we make use of precision ag given current commodity prices. The good news is when commodity prices were high, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago, a lot of farmers chose to purchase new or relatively new equipment that were equipped with, you know, those automated technologies, section control, guidance, and so forth. But also many of those have the sensor technologies as well, the combines with the yield monitors, variable rate application technology, as applied sensors on planters, sprayers, and so forth. And given that with the current situation, a lot of farms are not likely to invest in more hardware, there is an opportunity to invest in human capital, and with questions that we're trying to answer of how do we make use of the sensor technology, in particular the farm data. And there's a lot of opportunities for that, and there was a lot of discussion about that very topic.
Again, it takes somebody to interpret the data, and that is where we're lacking.
Sure thing. So we talk about the automated technologies, guidance and section control being widely adopted. And the reason is, you know, look at the title. Has automated in there.
Right.
Makes life better. You know, and you could argue that to operate a tractor, to drive it straight, requires more ability and skill than with the technology. The technology reduces the amount of skill you need to make it work. You cannot say that about yield monitors. You know, yield monitor does not make your life better. It gives you a lot of data with which you can make good decisions. But in order to do that, you've got to have greater management ability than without that technology. So those types of information-intensive technologies, yield monitors, grid soil sampling require more management ability and therefore less adopted than the automated ones.
Some of the other chat I heard on the farm, you know, during the conference, is that some of the people who have a good data aggregation over the years, they are in a better spot to make a decision on a certain type of farm operation, maybe deciding a seed population or picking a hybrid to make a better sense for their landlords who they're, you know, or whatever farm operation they are doing for, to so that they can minimize some of the cost and maximize on the yield, or they can do better in these times with those minimum resources.
So they're finding that there is a gain by having that data on hand, that it hasn't been a wasted exercise over 15 or 20 years.
Absolutely, absolutely. That data aggregation information which they have. So you learn something new every year, and then you start to build some beliefs or some facts for yourself that this pays, this doesn't pay. This has a 50-50 chance. It pays in these conditions and not. But those kind of experiences and, you know, the information or the knowledge which comes out of that helps farmers in these times to make more intelligent, knowledgeable decisions.
I want to talk about one more feature of the program, and Terry, you were involved with this, and we in fact previewed this as we were heading up to the conference with your colleague out of Oklahoma State University, Shannon Farrell. You teamed up to discuss the legal aspects of big data. And what came from that conversation?
Well, we definitely had a lot of people get kind of excited about what we were talking about in good and bad ways both. We had a really intense discussion not only during the presentation but continued for several hours into that evening. From a legal perspective, and Shannon Farrell would suggest that if we look at the requirements, the rights and responsibilities with regards to owning something, that two of those rights are clearly violated when we're talking about intangible goods such as data. And he was questioning the mere fact, when we asked the question, who owns data, he was offering maybe no one can. We also discussed the value of data and who's going to be the players who win. And, you know, some of the takeaways was, one, going off the grid isn't realistic. You know, people, you know, you can read stories about the 1950s and some farms were saying, well, you know, I'm going to use animal power. I'm not going to use these mechanical things, you know, and that's just a fad. I think we can make analogies to farm data now in that, you know, folks who do not embrace some of these opportunities may actually have to embrace these later on just to survive. And in particular, figuring out how to make use of farm data in an aggregate level. One of the big questions was, you know, which players benefit by how much? And, you know, for instance, the farmers were asking, well, how much will the farmers benefit relative to the data aggregators? And, you know, and the answer goes back to, well, it depends on the life cycle. So at the early stages of big data in agriculture, the farmers may be enticed to join these networks, and when this network becomes mature, then they'll be less enticed and they can join voluntarily, and they probably will have reasons to do so, and the aggregators will probably not provide the incentives like they did at the earlier stages of the development of the big data systems.
Well, a quick footnote here that AJ, you and colleagues here at K-State have put together now and have unveiled a precision agricultural technology website.
Yes, Eric. We've been working among our faculty who have been involved in precision ag collaboratively. It's been really fun to work with people who are in agronomy, people who are in entomology, and a guy who's sitting next to me, you know, Dr. Terry Griffin, is that? Oh, yes.
Yeah. For our radio listeners, must sitting on your left, you're right.
Oh, sorry, yeah. So we have started developing some very good material. We have been engaged in on-farm research, Ignacio, CMPD, Lucas Haig, Brian McCormick, Terry Griffin, myself, Dion Ventermurray, and there are some other people, Anita Dilley, Reyes Abido, who are all, so they are contributing in one way or the other. To reach this website, you can go to www.ksu.edu /precisionag, which is A-N-G. So it can become a one-stop shop for at least a lot of information on current technologies.
It's a valuable new resource. Once again, ksu.edu/precisionag. It's that simple. Check it out by all means. Gentlemen, thanks for a quick look back at the Agricultural Technologies Conference and your observations upon all of those discussions. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, sir. Thanks for having us here.
Thank you.
K-State Research and Extension's Terry Griffin and A.J. Sharda. That conference, by the way, was held last week jointly by K-State Research and Extension and the Kansas Agricultural Research and Technology Association.